Hey, everybody. For the best, highest quality e-cigs in the world, visit UFOship.com and click e-cigs up in the main menu. That's UFOship.com. Click e-cigs up in the menu, okay?
This is the Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. Call the show now at 623-242-CAST. That's 623-242-2278. Now, shut up, sit down, and listen to the damn show.
Yeah, thanks again, B-Dub. He is not pleased by that liner. I mentioned this on a previous Gabcast, and so... Yes, I know I need to change that liner. It's worn already the call's coming in. Jeez Louise. Let's hold off just a little bit. This is the Gabcast. It's a podcast about BellGab.com. If you want to call in tonight, I'll give you the number, but you probably ought to wait a while before you call, I would say. Phone number is going to be 623-242-CAST. That is 623-242-2278 if you want to be on the Gabcast tonight. So, hosting with me tonight is Bell Gabs Falky 2013. Hey, buddy.
Hey, like the music.
Thank you. That was actually put together on a computer by a friend of mine, and I heard it just in passing one day. I was like, you know what, that sounds like good theme show theme music. So, yeah, can I use that? Yes, I can. Thanks, here it is. And really, actually, when you listen to the quality of some of that, it's hard to believe... What they can do, you do not need to know musicians these days if you want to put music together at all. It's amazing. When I was, I think I said this on a previous Gabcast too, whatever. You know, after you do any type of a broadcast for a period of time, you eventually start repeating your material. But when I was working with Michael Sadler, who's the singer for the 80s group Saga, he came in to record his vocal tracks with a bunch of scratch tracks that he wanted to use just to have something as a point of reference so that when they mixed his vocals, because he and the band were not together physically, so he had to do his vocals. Those all had to be sent off to the band, man. And he brought in these scratch tracks, and I'm listening to the drums on them, and I said, Michael, who's the drummer? He's awesome. He's like, no, that's just a computer, man. That's just a computer. It's amazing what they can do. Technology, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just discovering it. Hi, I'm Michael Van Deven. So again, if you want to be on the show, 623-242-CAST, it is 623-242-2278. And so, Falky 2013, you are hosting with me tonight. And notice, ladies and gentlemen, that I did not say guesting or appearing. He is a host on the show tonight. As such, he will be helping steer the direction of the broadcast tonight. He will have complete and total control over whatever it is that you would expect a host to have control over. That includes control over the telephone calls. And so if you call in and Falky tells me to hang up on you, I will have no choice but to hang up on you. And I do not know the metric that's going to be used in order to determine whether or not he chooses to have you hung up on, but... He is afforded some modicum of control over the show as a result of his status tonight as a host, just as would be afforded anybody who sits down here to host this radio show. And by the way, there has been some question on BellGab with regard to how exactly this came to be, and it was simply was this. And George, you can attest to what I'm about to say. We had that... I guess you could call it an emergency Gabcast after it was announced that Art was quitting. And in the chat room, everyone was saying, Falky, call in. Falky, call in. You said you were trying and trying and trying to call in. You even sent me a PM about it and said, WTF. I tried to call in. I couldn't get through. And I don't know why that was, but I responded to you and I said, well, I would never prevent you from getting in on the show. And that's not why you, if that's why you thought you weren't able to get through. That is not why. I would not stop you from calling in. And I said, as a matter of fact, I have extended the offer to you a few times to be on the show, either with me or with other hosts in addition to me, or just by yourself, and I would just sit here and run the board as a producer, and you would otherwise just be hosting a show by yourself. And so, you know, I have no animus against you that would cause me not to bring you onto the show. And so... In keeping with the spirit of that, he said, well, okay, I've kind of always thought about coming on. And so here he is, Falky 2013. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? And by the way, this is George Senda, the guy from Pittsburgh. No fake guy in the chat room. The one and the only George Senda.
You know,
so any folkies in there, it ain't me. I get in the chat room.
There have, I would say, been a disproportionate number of people who've gone into the chat room and who have impersonated you. I would say relative to any other figure that would be impersonated, Art Bell included, you have by far been impersonated more in the chat room than anybody else.
Well,
with
they
certainty.
Got a long way to find my figure, so...
The phone is just exploding. What do you... you know what? Before we start taking calls, and caller, you're already... I already brought you up. You're not on yet, but if you just want to hang out for a minute and listen to the magic that's happening before you, then we'll bring you on.
It's a night.
No, that was me restraining uproarious laughter.
Oh, okay.
So Art Bell quit. I guess at this point, everybody's sick and tired of talking about it, but... You have essentially, Falky, stopped posting on BellGab, and as a result, there is a drought of knowledge with regard to your thoughts on the matter. What do you think about the whole Art Bell departure 5.0, or is it 5.6 or 8?
I don't say, you know, for 2 years, I feel I held the door open for Art Bell. I said, free Art Bell, free Art Bell's bumper music. I don't hate Art Bell. I love Art Bell. I would take a bullet for Art Bell.
Would you? Now, hold on. Let's step back. Let's walk that back to that comment. I mean, are you literally telling me that if Art Bell were passing by you on a sidewalk and you saw a sniper approaching, you would you literally would dodge in front of him to take that bullet for him?
I would dodge in front of him, throw him to the ground, and shield him my body. That's much.
Would you really? Why? I mean, do you think he would do the same in kind?
You don't let a legend die.
Well, but dying often is what makes somebody a legend, see?
I'd be a legend, wouldn't I?
Oh, I see. Ah, you know what? I was not thinking in the proper context. You have flipped a switch in my mind.
It did not occur to me at all, but I would do that for Kathy, too, because, you know, but the man is unique. He's like a Joe Pine or Pete Franklin or... Lon John Neville, these people, or Larry King, they only come along once or twice in a generation, and we will not see his like again, probably, given the nature of radio, in our lifetime.
Yeah, a lot of people revere him with that level of status, and I think in a lot of ways it's deserved. I mean, very few people have done what he's done in broadcasting, starting a network from nothing, building it up to 500 or 600 affiliates, or whatever the hell it was up to. And the guy's voice fits so perfectly with the genre that he was so renowned for being a part of. And I guess that's the big question. I know you and Redacted have had your back and forths on the forum. But I am of the belief that no matter how good a job Redacted does on that show, it will not matter. And beyond that, it would not matter who was selected as Art's replacement. I do not think people would feel terribly excited about the idea of going on, carrying on, listening to the show, particularly if there is a payment required in order to do so.
Well, I think if you had someone like a Long John Neville or a Harry...
Well, he's very dead.
No, I'm giving you as an example.
But there is no one really on that level that I know of.
I don't know. They might be out there. They might be waiting to be out there.
Well...
Not me or anything, so don't misunderstand me. But
so you do believe that, in fact, a better host, better being the word I'm putting in your mouth, that a better host would, in fact, suffer less of a negative audience reaction?
Well, I'm not going to say better because that would be unfair to Redacted. I don't think anybody, amateur, first time out into the stepping up to the plate, could do the job, given that it was dropped in her lap. Boom. I'm quitting. Here you go. Here's the show. Take the chair over. That's an impossible job. And, you know, I heard good things about her performance. I heard bad things about her performance. I didn't hear it.
So I thought dropped into the situation she was dropped into, she did much better than the overwhelming majority of people out there would have done, given all of the circumstances surrounding the situation. All the pressure she surely must have been under. I would say, given all of that stuff, She did a really good job, but my point is just simply to say that I don't think it matters how good a job she does. She is going to have a tough row to hoe when it comes to getting the audience on board with this whole thing. And particularly, again, I say, if there is a payment required in order to get the downloaded version of the show, that's going to be a really tough sell, because there are so many shows out there that are entirely free across the board by people who are very well known. And someone pointed out on the forum, Joe Rogan. I mean, that podcast, it's got an ad at the top of the show. Boom, that's it. End of the show. Nobody paid a dollar to download the show and listen. Anybody can open up their podcatcher and subscribe to that show right now. So that's that, in my way of thinking, is a tough sell. And again, it's not any kind of a negative remark against Redacted or any kind of a negative assessment of her performance doing the show. It's just simply, in my view, an honest observation of reality, regardless of who I've been chummy with or who's been a user on my forum. I mean, there are certain honest realities that, okay, if you're going to honestly talk about what it is that's happening, you have to acknowledge, and that is, I think, a big one. I don't think that that can continue. I think they're going to have to open the whole thing up eventually. I just can't imagine that there's going to be that big of an audience to sustain all the work Keith is going to have to continue doing for Redacted to have a paycheck. And it's not, again, because of anybody's performance. It's just because of the nature of this whole podcasting beast. Again, I say, there are just numerous, multitudes, voluminous amounts of shows out there you can listen to entirely for free. And I just think it's such a tough sell.
Well, maybe they could cut the price down to $1, you know. But I think Redacted would be hampered. It's kind of like riding a bicycle with training wheels. And how long will it take her to get up to speed? That's the problem.
I gotta say, with the tiffs that have manifested between the two of you over the course of the time you've both used the forum, you are treating her with rather delicate hands here.
No, I'm treating her with what I think is fairness, because she's new at this. And I would have trouble doing this. Look at me. I'm having trouble doing this show. I've never done this.
I think you're doing absolutely fine. And you know what? I have always thought that while perhaps video, and I've said this to you, while perhaps video isn't the most auspicious circumstance in which you can be reaching an audience, I think that sitting in front of a microphone just talking, I think you could be quite entertaining, actually. Well, you know, people get pulled off track watching your videos because they see all the stuff in the background and they say, oh, here's this old fat guy. And then they can't get over your physical appearance. They can't get over the stuff in the background. And so they lose any message in what you're saying. And I think if you just sat in front of a microphone, because you do have a pretty vast, wide breadth and scope of knowledge, just generally speaking. You know a lot of stuff.
Well, right now my stomach is fluttering, so that I'm nervous. But I see what you mean about the videos, the stuff in the background, but I'm not there.
That's your gimmick, huh?
Shit. No, it's not. It just happened to be behind me. Where am I going to have it in the background?
I think your apartment was entirely empty until you started doing those YouTube videos.
No, it wasn't. Believe me.
I believe that you actually live in a two-story home with a garage, and you rented this apartment just to do these videos in. That's what I believe.
If I had a two-story house in a garage, I'd have a film studio. I'd fly to Dallas, Texas, and get Alex Jones to build my studio.
Oh, Falky.
I live in this little tiny apartment.
You silly goose. Let's take some phone calls. How about that? Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, is it me?
It is you.
Ah, it's Bateman.
Hey, buddy.
The chat has been freaking out for the last 10 minutes or so.
Why?
Your audio is clipping like crazy.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, okay. I guess that's one reason to actually take a look. You sat here on hold all that time to say that to me?
I did.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I've got literally nothing else for you. Love you, Falky. Good night.
Thank you.
I have just adjusted the audio levels on the stream machine. I hope that fixed it. I don't know. That's rather interesting.
Taking reverb off my Mac.
Okay, well, let's take another phone call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, MB?
How's it going, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm doing really good.
Is the stream fixed right now? I have no idea why there would even be a problem.
I have no problem with it.
Say that again. You sound like you're talking through the center of a toilet paper roll. I can't.
is this better to me?
That's significantly better. Thank you.
Okay, welcome. I got one question for our friend George Seta, aka Falky.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know how do you like living in the Bay Area compared to say Las Vegas or like Tahoe or Roseville or the other places you lived at.
Well, the Bay Area probably has the best climate in the country. It has more centers of learning, bookstores, although the Barnes & Noble Walnut Creek is closing at the end of the month. We're running out of bookstores to go to. You can go do things here you can't do anywhere else in the country. I'm not talking about sports or recreation, but people live here for the climate. They get away from the winter. They get away from the heat. We don't have a lot of that, although this year the weather's been crazy here. So I've lived in Lake Tahoe, I've lived in Roseville, I've lived in I love Vegas in the 60s because the mob ran it, and it wasn't like the Vegas today. It was a small town, 300,000 people.
What was so different?
You went to the casino, they knew you, they called you by name, even if you were a kid, hello, and now it's all the suits, and they got the abacuses. It's there's no friendliness.
The worst thing you can do, you say they knew you, and I thought to myself immediately, well, yeah, they still know you. They give you a card with a magnetic strip, and you go in and you swipe that, and they know you. They pull you right up. But
it's the same.
Well, if you talk, by the way, Falky, as I said, if you speak while I'm speaking, the way Skype works, nobody will hear you. So,
Okay.
Nobody can hear you if we speak at the same time. It's just the nature of Skype. But the biggest mistake anybody can make is getting one of those magnetic strip card, credit card looking things from a casino and putting your information on it and using it in any way whatsoever. Because then what you've done is you've given the hotel a database entry with your name on it, telling them how much money you've spent in their slot machines, how much money you've won, how much you've lost. They know everything there is they need to know in determining whether they're going to comp you anything. So if you're a cheapskate and you go into their casinos and you spend $20, which is what my wife and I do, you know, we've been to Vegas twice. The only thing we've done there is really primarily just watch Vegas shows. I had a new vagina installed. No, I just say that because people say, well, watching shows, what kind of a man are you? No, it's great. They've got some really good shows. And I will tell you, the Chris Angel show is absolutely atrocious. Worst thing I've ever seen. The biggest waste of $76.42 I've ever spent.
God.
Horrible. Horrible. He entirely depends entirely on having a camera there and being able to manipulate that situation. But again, if you're going to Vegas, the worst thing you can ever do is get one of those cards. You will never get a piece of mail from those people if you get one of those cards and you don't spend a lot of money. You'll never get a piece of mail. You'll never get anything comped. You will screw yourself. Don't let them know all that stuff about you. Just go in there. Don't ever tell them your real name. Spend cash. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Falky.
Hey.
How are you?
It would be nice to know who's talking to me.
It's Rob.
Oh, hello.
Hey,
Hey, Rob. How are you? What's up? Let's go. What do you want to say?
Well, first off, I feel bad about, like, any kind of, like, threats or anything. Like, I get emotional. I used to get emotional really easily, and I'd never meant to, like, have things get as bad as they have. And
is this Robert Cassio?
Yes.
Okay. Could you please stop making dummy accounts on my forum, please? You're a headache, dude. You are such a big goddamn headache. Do you know that?
I haven't done that in like over a year.
Oh, bullshit. I guarantee you it's been more recent than that. I mean, why is it so important to you to post on Belgab? I can't have you post on Belgab because the second you get in, you post scans of yearbook photos of people who end up contacting me saying, hey, this creep is posting my photo online with my name. Can you remove that from your forum, please? To which I immediately oblige because who would want that shit? I mean, of course you're banned, dude. So stop creating accounts. No, you can't use the forum. Sorry, can't trust you.
All right. I understand that.
Okay, carry on.
But, you know, I mean, there's a certain group of people who seem to want me there because they just keep talking about me all the time.
Well, everybody likes to drive past a vehicular accident with decapitations and take a look as they're driving. Yeah, there are people who want to see a freak show. That's
on the Gabcast. Bye.
I think he's doing away with. I'm sorry, Cassio. I have to. If he says to hang up, I have to hang up. Okay.
No, I didn't say I'm talking to my girlfriend.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Robert Cassio. Okay, go ahead, you two. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm pretty much, you know, calling to say that I don't remember actually ever threatening you, Falky. But if I did, I'm sorry.
Well, like I tell Area 51 Drone, who said sorry dozens of times. Sorry is like a little kid. After a while, it means nothing. And I want to say,
well, hold on just a moment, Falky. I mean, he sounds like he is here genuinely opening himself up to you, seeking rectification of the situation. Falky, you have to understand, if you speak while I'm speaking, nobody can hear you.
Sorry.
But he sounds genuine to me.
I'm trying to be a better person a lot lately.
Go ahead, Falky. Finish your thought there.
All right. The man is in violation of multiple YouTube rules, publishing personal information about another poster.
Has he done that?
Yes.
Robert, have you posted personal information about people?
Not about him.
Bullshit.
And what personal information did I post?
You had a video. I do not have access to it at the moment, but I got my windows up, all kinds of windows on my screen.
The video where I called you?
I finished speaking. You asked the question. I sent YouTube's legal department yesterday a voluminous email.
You mean voluminous?
Well, thank you, whatever it's called. Showing your videos, one in which you said you misrecorded the calls, can only get one call. You called my home phone number and asked for Shirley.
Who is Shirley?
Someone he made up.
Now, let me ask you, Falky. It seems though we are sort of becoming about you here. Is that what you want?
No, I want him to stop doing videos about George Senda and leave me the fuck alone.
Okay, but Falky, I have to ask you this. When you say just with a broad sweeping stroke there, you want him to stop doing videos about George Senda. I mean, you are in your home recording these videos for public viewing, and I would imagine that you're trying to get some sort of an audience interest in what it is you're doing. And I would think that you would understand that perhaps these things just sort of come along with the territory.
Well, when he calls me a piece of excrement.
Yeah, that's going to people. You know how many people hate me out there, dude? I have people who send me emails telling me they hope my kids get cancer. I swear to God.
He published my unlisted number on BellGap. That's one of the things that really... And recorded phone calls in violation of California law.
Did I remove the number? Because I would have if you'd asked me.
No, he did. On his video.
I never posted your number.
Bull.
Cassio, did you post his number? Why'd you do that?
I never did.
When did you do it?
Fire.
I don't even know. I wouldn't have done that.
Which area code did the number start with?
925.
Is that right, Cassio? 925?
I don't remember his number.
Well, I think you slipped up. I did a brilliant detective maneuver on you. I asked you, when did you post his number? And rather than immediately deny the fact I didn't post, you searched your mind for when that may have been. See, I'm not sure I believe your story there.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't remember
ever
posting
his number.
Oh, you want me to hang up on him?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry, Robert Cassio. I have to hang up.
All right, everybody wanted me to call, so I did.
Okay, bye-bye.
I have multiple Bellgabbers who told me what he was doing. Every time he posts something about it, I get informed by 3 or 4 people. And I know he posted my home phone number and recorded my home phone calls. He called me 4 times last week and said nothing, and then immediately posted a video about me. Woke me up on Monday.
But there isn't some element of this that you feel just sort of comes along with the territory. I mean, you are putting these videos out there for people to see, in which you often talk about your own personal life and the things happening around you.
There's one thing he did that I think is unforgivable. What's now, that? I get enough of that crap in my thread. He said that George Norrie was having homosexual fantasies homosexual sex with me, and I was having homosexual fantasies about George Norrie. He did this when he posted a video on a tent. The man is obsessed with attacking me, and he never stops. I'm trying to get him removed from Bell Gab totally. I'm not Bell Gab, sorry. YouTube.
I think that you guys have had this thing going back and forth between the two of you for a long time, and neither of you has managed to... Well, actually, I think his account's been shut down multiple times, has it not?
What he does, he posts, on the last count, 32 different channels under 32 different names, even though he's been suspended. He gets around their rules.
Hmm. So that's just unforgivable then. There's no way the two of you can walk this back and come to
any... My next step is to talk to an attorney, and I'm seriously considering suing YouTube.
Well, now I have to ask you... come on now, hold on. I know, and this is all because you've told everybody... I know that you're on public assistance. How could you possibly afford an attorney?
You do a thing called informa prepara. You file paperwork and it doesn't cost you anything.
Really?
I will save up the money. I've already talked to an attorney about someone else that I wish to go after one day, and the minimum to pay that attorney would be $350 and be money well spent. I'll come up with the $350.
Okay. Okay, well, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing? This is a guy from Pittsburgh. Bell Gab, haters, liars, and fools.
Okay, I'm not going to have recordings of myself thrown back at me. Get rid of that, too, please.
Okay, that's gone. Yeah, there's a lot of Falky soundboard stuff out there, but the problem is, and when we had our failed... drunken karaoke thing the other night, someone called into that with a George Senda soundboard, and they're just not good at it. I mean, for instance, any soundboard you put together and are the operator of, which I presume these people are actually creating these soundboards of you and then going out and using them, you have to be prepared for simple questions with a yes button, a no button, a maybe button, just anything. You have to think of all these varied responses one might have in the course of interacting with somebody, and you have to be at the ready with that. But we would just ask simple questions like, how are you doing? Or, do you think that's right? Or whatever. And whoever had their finger on the button was just entirely not ready. Very unimpressive.
There's another thing. I got a YouTube channel removed this week for impersonation.
Why?
They were taking what you just heard, cobbling together my words, using my videos, and using my name.
So YouTube did take it down?
They took it down.
I would think with all of that you just listed, they probably would take a channel down. I would think so. Not surprising.
So... let's get back to...
Okay, well, you are a host of this show tonight. What would you like to talk about? I think that's what people are more interested in.
Well, I wanted to talk a little about art situation.
Let's do it. Let's go. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm bothered by the people that say that art's... I have gotten so many inboxes on my YouTube channel. I publish them. Art's...
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
You use the term inboxes a lot. Is that something that's sort of a mannerism of yours? Is that something that you came up with, or is that a commonly used term?
No, it's I call them inbox. I'm used to Gmail. It's they comment in each video has a thing where you can comment, and I pre-screen the comments. And some of them, if they're vile, I send them off to YouTube as hate speech or whatever. But there's so many comments I've got. Art Bell faked this. It's all bullshit. One guy said, I know he faked it and I have the proof. I'm thinking, what the hell is that? So I don't think Art Bell is faking this, and I think it's unfair to Art.
I don't think he's faking it, but I also don't believe he wants to do the show.
I don't know that. You'd have to ask Art in person.
Or I mean, just his actions don't show me that he wants to do the show. I came to that conclusion after this latest event. I've decided I don't believe Art Bell wants to do a show anymore. I just don't think he does, and I don't care who agrees with that. I know a lot of people won't, but tell me what it is that's happened in the last week and a half that would suggest to anybody that he does. Because I believe with his current situation, which I believe has happened, I don't believe he's made those facts up, but I do believe he has chosen not to make any sort of a legitimate attempt to enable himself to continue doing the show. I don't believe he has. You're talking about a radio show that was already being aired on 50 affiliates just before he left. I went to artbell.com and I looked at the list of affiliates. It was right at 50, exactly 50, I believe. And you can't tell me there's no money to be made there. I just cannot wrap my head around the idea that there wasn't any level of security that could be afforded Art as a result of this situation. There wasn't anything that could be done so that he at least feels safe during those 3 hours he's doing the show. There had to be. I just cannot accept that. I'm sorry. I'm a thinking grown man. I'm a grown goddamn man. I don't accept that. I don't believe that. So I can only conclude he just doesn't want to do the show. It's that simple. And I don't really care to hear any other opinion on it. Well, I do. I don't mean to be so dismissive, but I would probably not agree with any opinion that doesn't coincide with what I just said.
Well, I think it's like the gravitational effect on a moon on a planet. I think there's other things going on, like his wife, his child, that are causing him to do this. It may not be his desire to do the show or not to do the show. That has to be paramount in his mind, I think. And who knows? He may come back.
But don't you think that
the network still be there?
Don't you think when we're talking about a radio show that's being heard on 50 radio stations, has alleged, it's been purported to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 subscribers, so that would be 50,000 per month in revenue. We can't come up with someone to stand outside on Art's property with a gun and walk around the property for 3 hours each night while he's doing the show. I don't believe he wants to do a show anymore. That simple.
Well, I don't know. I'm not Art, and I...
That's true. Yeah, that is true. Neither of us is.
I'd like to find out the list of reasons why. Like the
Well, he's articulated them, but I the only thing I've heard to explain why he didn't do what it is that I would think anybody would do in this situation, which is to get some security, his explanation there was something on the order of, well, it's kind of like being in jail, and I don't want to live that way. Or whatever. I mean, okay.
I would have tried to go and try to get somebody to find out who's doing it, but that's me.
Well, I think the most effective thing would be just to make sure you're safe. So get someone on the property with a gun, get some floodlights, and it's only 3 hours a night. I mean, you could probably pay someone $80, maybe even less, man. A lot of people would love to stand on Art Bell's property with a gun walking around for 3 hours a night. Holy shit, can you imagine how many nutcases out there would love to be able to... yes, Art should hire a nutcase with a gun. That's what I'm saying. No, but can you imagine how many people would love to be able to tell the world, yeah, I'm the guy that walks around on Art Bell's property at night with a gun, making sure nobody jacks with anything. I mean, a lot of people would love to be able to say that. I just don't even think it would have cost $100 per show to get that taken care of.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I will say one thing. He did say he was going to come back and guest host, so if that's true, he's not totally disengaged from the show and still wants to do some part of it.
I saw someone said Art Bell wants to return randomly. I wish that I could pay randomly. That was kind of funny. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Falky and MV.
Hey, how's it going?
Good evening. Is this the support line for people that have been in unhealthy relationships with Art Bell for decades?
You know what? We can do that. We can, whatever it is you need from us, we're going to try to deliver it for you.
Well, Falky, it's great to hear you on the Gabcast.
Who am I talking to?
My real name is Dustin.
Oh, hey, Dustin.
I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I wasn't, you sound a bit different here.
Well, we blame the fine folks at Verizon.
So what brings you to the show?
Well, sort of just kind of being silly, how I've been in this unhealthy relationship with Art Bell for decades, and I keep going back to him even though he treats me so badly because I love him. How many times have we seen that play out? But
we're going to get you set up with a nice camper somewhere. You're going to be great.
I know.
He's going to be around with a nasty tank top with a basketball under it.
I got an idea for you.
What's that?
RL deprogramming. We could start a whole new industry.
How would that work? I mean, what would be the process?
Like the Christians, you know, they deprogram from the cults. We get guys deprogramming you from Art Bell.
Well, there's a lot of success to be seen in deprogramming people in Christian ministries who de-gayify people. So, yes, I'm sure this is a great plan and will work immensely.
And pray their heart out of me.
That's just, that was sarcasm, by the way. You know, those gay, you know, those ministries that get gay guys and you slap them around with the Bible until they're not gay anymore? It's just like there's some switches that I'm not sure the Bible really flips in people, and that's one of them.
You could maybe one of the psychic healers come by and put hands on your computer or your radio and say heal.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to share a fond memory, if I may, because I think the art stuff's going to kind of fade away this time. My older brother, Mike, that I told you had passed away this summer, he and I were estranged for many years. And in the late 90s, he introduced me to Art Bell, and that became common ground that he and I could discuss and enjoy over the last years of his life. And it's a fond memory that I will carry with me forever. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all know Art Bell is a diva and a human. He's just a guy. And I've mentioned from time to time that I like the character he plays, but the person in real life, like many celebrities, if you will, are not people you'd want to associate with necessarily.
I always had this perception that art is someone who so totally doesn't suffer fools that I would find some way, if I were to meet him, there would be something he would find about me that he wouldn't like. And it would just not go the way I had hoped.
But yeah, it sure was fun while it lasted, and wow, when you had both him and Snorri on the Gabcast. I mean, these are things I'll remember, if not for the rest of my life.
One night we had Art in the chat room while George was on the phone, and I thought, man, could we just get Art to call in right now? It would be the collision of universes. It would be the equivalent of a split atom. There would be some sort of a cosmic force that would be released in such a thing happening.
And a little before showtime, I guess it was a best of you were playing.
Oh, that was on the Trainwreck show.
It was talking about Belgab being cliquish. And, well, it's just a bunch of folks with common interests, but still, we all got to share the build-up to that and watch it happen, maybe a little too close.
Well, you know,
wow.
The thing is, people talk about how they see Belgab in some ways as a clique. And I would say it's not really like that so much as the more you communicate with particular people, the more familiar you're going to be with them. And so naturally you're going to gravitate toward those people. Why would, if some new dude just pops into the forum and you don't afford him the same deference that you would afford someone you've been sending messages back and forth with for 2 or 3 years, and that new dude's going to get butthurt about that? I mean, that's not a click. That's just normal human interaction. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. Oh, maybe not. If you want to be on the show, the number is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278 if you want to be on the Gabcast tonight. I would like to know if the audio has cleared up or not. Dustin, who was just on, didn't say anything about the audio having any problems. We haven't gotten any other calls that say there's a problem, so I assume it's okay. Falky, were you paying attention on Bell Gab when Leo Ashcraft flipped out, the news reader during Art's show? Were you around when he flipped out and quit and went all over social media decrying Art and declaring him the equivalent of, I don't know, horse manure, whatever it is. My salty language tonight. Oh, geez.
I didn't know his name till tonight. I'd heard the news things on Dark Matter, but I didn't know he'd done that. I go in my thread, the Art Bell thread, the Nori thread, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, and by the way, my three-year-old is about 5 feet to my left. That's why I'm being a little bit tender tonight. So Leo Ashcraft posts on December 13th. And those of you who, I wish I could go back and find some of his insane Facebook posts. Yeah, there was one just recently where someone expressed an opinion that was, I believe, in favor of Art, and Leo Ashcraft came in on Facebook and just swarmed in and started calling this person a faggot. And, like, just, he just went unhinged on this person. And now listen to the attempt at diplomatic speak that he employs here in this message he just posted. As many of you have heard, Tuesday night, that would be December 8th, was Art Bell's last program. Due to unfortunate circumstances related to stalking / terrorism and other issues I mentioned in September, Art really had no other choice. He chose to put his family and their safety first and foremost. Any of us in this position would likely do the same. Yes, there were some disagreements between Art and I. Much of this was related to interference coming from a third party inside the organization. That would be Keith, because I remember as soon as Leo Ashcraft decided that he was out of there, he went and publicly posted that the problem, in his estimation, was Keith. It was my decision to leave due to these issues and what I felt strongly would end the program before the end of the year. As some good friends do when fighting, listen to this line, I can't believe this. The ball's on this guy. If I could spit it out, holy shit, years of drug use, I'm sorry, have left me addled. As some good friends do when fighting, I felt strong. Some things were said, daggers, I'm reading a computer screen from practically across the room here. Some things were said, daggers were thrown. He makes it sound like this was some sort of an equal back and forth of both men frothing at the mouth, saying horrible things about one another. And that is not at all how this went down. I would liken it to Art Bell standing on a wood frame porch with his hands on his hips, watching as a flaming madman with a baseball cap filled with dog manure, or dog poop, runs about the front lawn screaming that he's on fire and making a scene. That's what it was like watching this. I don't remember any back and forth between the two, really, other than Art posting images of checks to say, hey, we really did pay this guy. Leo continues, but I need you to understand that I wish Art no harm and hope he can now enjoy his peace with his family. Art and I have mended bridges over the past month. We hope he can now enjoy his peace. We have spoken many... I'm sorry, I'm reading this from really far away. We have spoken many times through email and phone calls over the past couple of months. Art was in a bad situation with interference from within and then the terroristic actions at his home. While he loves doing the program for you every night, his family and safety must come first. I have never seen a missive from anyone with such an ulterior motive associated with it, because someone below this posted a message saying something to the effect of, haha, I think what he's really saying is, I didn't shoot any bullets at Art's house. I mean, as you go through this phony baloney feigned concern and interest, this it's a diplomatic speak put on. It's so obvious that there's some sort of ulterior motive associated with this. And Leo Ashcraft knows that, because he's in the unfortunate position of having just been in a very public tiff with Art Bell right before all of this stuff starts happening, that it looks a little bit slimy for him. And that's not to say he's committed any crime or done anything wrong. It's just that he's in the unfortunate position of having been one of the last guys to publicly denounce Art Bell in a major way, and then all of this stuff happens, so here's this message. With all that said, several things are about to happen in Radioland. I'm going to return to the airwaves. This is going to happen in stages. See, it's going to be such a big rollout, Falky, that he needs to do this in stages, you see. First, they're going to flip a switch on SATCON 5, they flip another switch on SATCON 8. They have to slowly bring the network up to carry the heavy castanets that are this radio show that's going to be coming your way soon from Leo Ashcraft. And I don't know that there's anything else in here that... Oh, he said he's going to return very soon to the airwaves, and he's going to be co-hosting with some dude. And, oh, here's the part I really got a hoot out of. I found to be quite a hoot. Mutual Broadcast is here to absorb the losses created by the downfall of the other network. So, in Leo Ashcraft's mind, who's even heard of fucking Leo Ashcraft? I'm sorry, my kid is... Well, she is asleep. I don't think she's listening. In his mind, he is the alternative to Art Bell. He is, in his mind, the guy that everyone can now come to since the Dark Matter Radio Network, where Art Bell is heard, is now imploding. He, in his mind, believes that. That coupled with the fact that he was out there just saying... he hated Art Bell. He viscerally hated Art Bell. I have never seen someone have as big a Facebook meltdown as this guy had when he decided he was quitting the Dark Matter Radio Network. I have never seen as big a meltdown. You can go into the Leo Ashcraft thread on Bellgab, and you'll see all these screen grabs of stuff that he posted on Facebook. And the juxtaposition between those and what I'm reading here, holy shit, is this guy batshit crazy. This guy is nuts. To go from all of that to what it is he's posted here, he has some sort of hormonal imbalance. There is something wrong with this guy. And again, that's all coupled with the idea that in his mind, this nobody, that nobody's ever heard of, and by the way, a talentless man, bereft of talent. I never once when listening to that show did I ever hear... I'm sorry, hold on. Man, I had a frog in my throat there. Never once did I hear anything on his show that allowed me to walk away from that experience saying, well, Art better be careful. The competition's lurking. That never came to my mind at all. Probably one of the most talentless radio broadcasters I've ever heard. One of the most difficult listens I have ever experienced. Just the act of sitting there listening to another human being speak into the microphone, listening to Leo Ashcraft do that, probably one of the most difficult things in terms of listening to a speaking human voice, one of the most difficult things I've endured. Every other word is, he's vacuous in the nature of what it is he talks about. He doesn't talk about anything substantive. Here I am sitting here on the Gabcast with Robert Cassio calling in to talk with Falky, and I'm talking about other people's show content. Okay, well, it's a sliding scale. It depends on the context of the situation. But I have... Janiel Shulman, who was doing that show with him, was infinitely more interesting than Leo Ashcraft was. I mean, and I would rather... Janiel Shulman sitting there talking about how his dad played the violin on PBS 75 years ago, or whatever it is his dad did. I don't know. I don't have track of all of it. It's too much. But whatever that guy did, Janiel Shulman said that he is not a deadbeat, as Leo Ashcraft claims he is, because Janiel Shulman gave Leo Ashcraft full and total rights, like legal rights, licensing rights, to play on the show the recordings of his father on PBS 50 or 60 years ago. That overcame any expense. Let's go ahead and take a call. I'm sorry, I am really going long here. I'm sorry. Hello, hi.
Art Bell is a pussy. Art Bell is a liar. You're not Falky. You'll never be Falky. You never were Falky. You won't be Falky in this life.
Get rid of it?
Yeah, get rid of it. Look, if they're going to talk, it's a human, that's one thing. But throwing my own words back at me, what's the point? The listener doesn't want to hear that. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, I think the person doing the soundboard probably just wants to see what your reaction to that is going to be. But again, as I pointed out at the top of the show, Falky is a host tonight. He is here to help drive the direction of the show. He doesn't want the whole thing to be about him. So I would think that maybe people might be able to honor that to some degree.
I'd like to say something about this guy.
Leo Ashcraft?
Yeah, I think the only stage he's going to be on is the Stagecoach ride at Kiddyland. And he seems like an ungrateful asshole. Art gave him a job, paid him, and now he's stabbing Art in the back. I don't think that's right.
Did you see the insane frothing messages he posted on Facebook? Ashcraft became convinced that all of these people were following him on Facebook because they were fans of Leo Ashcraft, because they're just... How many just Leo Ashcraft fans are driving around out there in their pickup trucks headed over to TSC to pick up salt bricks for their horses? How many of... There are not many, I suspect. So I don't know what it is that he thought motivated people to follow him on Facebook. In reality, it was explicitly and singularly because people wanted to watch this man having an utter and complete breakdown. That's all it was. Again, everybody likes a train wreck. Everybody enjoys driving past the fatality car accident with decapitations. Everybody likes to drive past that stuff, whether they would admit that to you or not. It's what I try to spend my afternoons with my children doing. We just drive around looking for people getting killed in cars. It's rare, but when it happens, special family moment, I tell you right there. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is White Crow.
How's it going, White Crow?
It's going very well, MV.
You sound great. You usually just call in on a phone. This is an improvement.
I put Skype on my cell phone.
Did you do that because you were calling in on Art's show when he was on the air?
No, I never called in Art's show.
Why not?
I did it for you, MV.
Well, that's good. It is, to me, at least to my ear, a little bit off-putting to hear callers calling in with the same level of audio fidelity as the host, but we'll tolerate it. It's okay. I feel like you should be sounding phony, like on a phone. So what brings you to the show, buddy?
Well, I'd like to ask George permission to talk about our financial arrangement for the Nori interviews. George, is that okay? This is White Crow.
I'll be honest with you. I don't remember a lot about it because I was running around so much. It was like...
Okay, well, before you start talking about the Nori interviews, we need to bring people up to speed who perhaps aren't aware. Falky actually had a sit-down interview with George Nori. And it was videoed, and it's available on YouTube for your viewing pleasure at this moment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, White Crow.
Well, I just want everybody to know that George is completely credit-worthy. I made him a loan. George, I'm sorry you don't remember.
So you ran an actual credit score on him?
Well, no, I used his word.
Well, that's not how the credit industry works, sir. I mean, I would think with what you're telling me at this moment, there was paperwork filed, social security number, that came your way, and you stacked him up against the actuarial.
Well, no, I didn't do that, MV. Just like if you would ask me for a loan, I would take
you would be
your
making
word
a
for
big
it,
mistake,
pay me
sir.
Back.
That would be the mistake of your life. I would shut down Belgab. I would turn off my internet connection and just not acknowledge you. I'm keeping that $100.
Well, anyway, George, I had to push him a little, do a few collection calls, but he came through at the end.
Oh, well, so he did repay the loan. Do you care to say how much the loan amount was?
I don't remember.
Oh, my God. You really don't remember borrowing money from somebody?
Look, you're looking at a guy that day. Some days I have to look at my Mac to know what day it is. There's too much going on.
Well, maybe that's
right now.
Maybe that's the reason why I had to make the collection calls, because he didn't remember.
Well, I know it was something, and somewhere in my inboxes, I've kept every inbox from you in Belgab in the inboxes, so I could go back and look it up. But I was asking you if I could pay it later because things were
really... Yeah, you had some... Right. Yeah, I accommodated
you. But you said you need it now, and...
No, we waited a while.
I paid it back, so I thank you for that. I appreciate it to the bottom of my heart.
Wait. White Falky, did you just say that White Crow told you, hey, I need this money back now?
He said he needed it back in the first month or something. I don't remember the exact wording.
Okay, now let me ask you, White Crow, why did you... I mean, was that entirely arbitrary? Were you just trying to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, this is the goalpost? Or did you, like, need the money back? Because I have always been of the impression that you're something of a man of means.
Well, I like to be paid back. Take a man at his word. If he says he's going to pay me at the first of the month when his SSID checks come in and I didn't receive a payment, I kindly reminded him of that.
Okay, fair enough. I thought maybe perhaps you legitimately needed the money back. There were things you needed. That money was earmarked for something, and you need it back.
Well, no, that's besides the donations I made to Falky, too.
As I recall, I think some point on the 1st, I sent it to him by some means to my bank account. So it got...
Okay, so, all right. So, bottom line, Falky does repay loans, is what you're saying, White Crow.
Yes, he does. He repaid my loan with a few polite nudges to remind him of it.
But did you feel that those nudges were beyond what would be kind of normal?
Well, let's just say I used a little bit more than politeness in a few of my PMs to him.
What does that mean? Does that mean you were less than polite?
Yeah.
How did you word it? What did you say to him? What did you say to Falky?
I reminded him of his promise to pay it back on the first of the month. And then when the next month came around, I figured he probably spent his money for the month. So there was no sense aggravating myself trying to get blood from a turnip, so to speak.
So okay,
I reminded him again the next month.
I think that this is a somewhat seminal moment, Falky, in your existence on Belgab as a participant in the community, in that here we have confirmation that Falky is a man who does repay his debts. Contrary to popular belief, what do you say?
Well, I did ask him if I could do at some point monthly payments. He said no, so I paid him on the first of the month, and he acknowledged that, and I even sent him emails or whatever it was. The money's on its way, however way I paid it, PayPal, I don't remember how I paid it. I can go back in my bank account.
But you could have screwed him, you could have stiffed him, and you did not do it. And that is entirely incongruent with the picture people paint of you online.
I wouldn't have done that to somebody.
No, I wouldn't think you would. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Who the F is that? No, hi. Hey, buddy. What's going on, Jasmunda?
Hi, Falky. How are you?
Now my channel is going to be destroyed.
What do you mean by that? I get it, because Jasmunda destroys everything. All right. That one almost snuck past me. Go ahead, Jasmunda.
Lulls are flowing. I just want an update. Can we get an update on the pilot that you recorded?
Thank you. Yes. I got sidetracked. I meant to ask about that. Falky.
Because with Aunt Bell gone, with the TV sort of wrapping up for Christmas, I need a new TV show.
Okay, Falky, before you tell us what's happening with the pilot, first tell us what the pilot was, how it came to be. Tell us the story. What is it?
Well, I've read on Belgab that people already know what the pilot was, but George has asked me not to tell anybody what the pilot was. I did a one-minute commentary on the pilot. It's been farmed from network to network, CNN, MSNBC, CBC, something like that. Fox, Al Jazeera, and now it's with another network.
Oh,
and
Alexa.
The last I knew, it's been 7 months, and Georgia says they're going into negotiations after Christmas. That's all the word I have. Now, one reason I'm going to LA in February is to talk to George. What's going on with the show?
What's the name of that network? Al what?
Al Jazeera. It's one that Al Gore sold, or they had Al Jazeera before that, but they turned his network into something, and Al Jazeera is now running it.
Oh, I've seen Al Jazeera. Hey, who's this? You're on the air. Hi.
Hey, it's Bateman again.
Oh, hey, what's up?
While we're on the subject of George, you know, Falky, because I know you correspond with him on a, I don't know how regular basis, but has he talked to you at all about the art situation? I imagine he's got to be very happy about how the last week has played out.
Okay, now, Falky, before you answer that question, and remember that question, has George talked to you about the current art situation? But we have to go back. The reason I answered Bateman so quickly in the middle of you talking was because I was afraid that he was calling again to say that the stream is screwed up. So you got this deal doing a one-minute commentary on a pilot being filmed by George Norrie. This pilot has been shopped around where?
5-6 networks that I know of. There may be more. I don't know.
Okay. And what's the status of that?
It's with another network there. And the last I got told about a month ago, I asked George, and he said after Christmas, they're going into negotiations. That's all.
Who's they? Have you been given any details?
I can't give you the network.
Okay. I know the network. What was the nature of your commentary on the show? Can you talk about anything pertaining to the content of the show?
It's relating to the guest of the show, the topic of the show.
Who was that?
I can't say.
Why?
Because I've been told to George Norrie not to divulge it.
Did you sign an actual contract?
It was part of my agreement to be on the show, that I am not allowed to divulge information until the show is on the air.
So did you feel, let me ask you this, have you been told whether your commentary was included in the final product that was sent to the network?
I've already heard it.
Oh, wow. So yeah. It was.
I had positive commentary from George and his producer that the networks that looked at the show liked me.
And, okay, well.
If the show sells, I will be on every episode.
But you're not going to know anything until after Christmas.
No.
It's actually been a really slow process. I wonder if the process of shopping a show around normally takes this long or not. I don't know.
I recently read about a new show that went on the air. It took something like a year and a half.
Bateman's question, let's go back to that. Have you spoken to George at all with regard to Art's current situation? Has George had any commentary on that at all?
I wrote him an inbox saying, hey, I didn't hear anything, but there's something else. I talked to Tommy and...
Tom Danheiser, George Norrie's producer.
Yeah, Tom said that George would probably discuss this on a show. I listened to two shows when, after Art quit, George wasn't there. I was told that George wouldn't be there Monday, then he was. I listened to excerpts of the show. I didn't hear anything about Art Bell, but I haven't had time to hear the whole show. So I don't know. I don't know if George said anything or not at this point.
I would be interested to hear what he's got to say about it, but... Surely he's said something on his show about it. I can't imagine he hasn't said anything on Ghost.
Seen anything that he said anything? No, I mean, I've missed something.
I didn't hear the first. You can't talk while I'm talking because we won't hear you. What was the first part of what you said?
I've looked in the Norrie thread and I haven't found it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He said anything?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And is there any indication as to what kind of money you're going to make if this thing gets picked up and you're doing your... Is it going to be only a one-minute commentary on every show?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I wish you could tell me what the subject was, because that would help me sort of, you know, kind of imagine a context and whatnot in my mind.
Like they used to say, I would either confirm or deny, but the game plan here is to sell the first show... Then create a second show, and I'll be on that. And then the third show will be the Guy from Pittsburgh show.
But I don't think it's going to happen for you. And I don't mean that.
I'm not worried about it.
I don't mean that in any way because of you. I mean that because George has thrown so much TV spaghetti against the wall over the years, and none of it has stuck.
Well, look, if he told me one thing, I'll have a copy of the pilot of my very own. It gets me exposure. People will get to know me.
I think exposure's overrated. You know what? That gets bandied about. I've had countless just the whole premise of exposure, the concept. I've got these guys that I fart around with musically. I play drums. I got a couple buddies that play guitar, another one that plays bass. And I cannot tell you how many people have thought we were good enough to play in their place, but they don't want to pay us because, oh, hey, you'll get exposure. Exposure. And that seems like just this familiar refrain I hear everywhere now. You'll get exposure. Here's why you should, with tweezers, go ahead and go around the perimeter of my home and make sure there are no protruding weeds because it'll get you exposure. Just any number of horrible things people tell you should do for free because it gets you exposure. I mean, I hope that turns out to be true and you somehow are able to parlay that into some form of revenue. But I think exposure might be a little overvalued.
Well, I may have used the wrong term, but people would get to know me if that pilot ever... He says if it doesn't sell, he's going to air the pilot somewhere. So who knows, you know.
Okay. Well, if you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. Jasmunda, you said you had one more question, so just go ahead and call back in if you would. Or maybe I'll just type that here. Call again. See, that's what I do. I hang up on the callers in a very seamless way because goodbyes and all of that. I hope the kids are doing okay. You know what? Make sure that you use zero lead gasoline. I don't want your family members getting sick. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you for calling. You know, all that stuff, it really mucks up the gears. That's what I said. I like the seamless hang-up. So I don't really think there's anything else to say about the Art Bell thing. I don't think he's going to come back. If he does come back, I don't think it's going to matter. I think at this point, so many bridges have just utterly been burned that it wouldn't really matter too terribly much. I mean, his hardcore fans would listen to it, but there's not going to be any profound platform for him to come back to and do that on. He's not going to be heard on any terrestrial radio stations, or if he is heard on any, it's going to pale in comparison to what he would have been heard on in terms of a terrestrial radio network. It's going to pale in comparison to what he was being heard on and would have been heard on. And someone posted in the Art Bell thread that Bateman said that they were working out a deal with Cumulus. I had heard the same thing. And in that thread, I confirmed, yeah, this is true. And I wasn't supposed to say anything, but at this point, I don't think it matters a whole hell of a lot. I won't say who told me that or how I knew or how that person knew. But, yeah, it was my understanding that was true. Everything that this forum has wanted since April of 2008 was about to happen, was about to start cranking the geese. Wheels are in motion! The wheels were in motion! It was all beginning to happen. And gone just like that. That's why I say we couldn't pay some guy $75 per night to come walk around Art's property with a gun. Are you kidding me? And you people out there carrying water, I'm sick of reading it, I gotta say. There's too much water carrying going on out there, and I'm not going to be one of them. I'll tell you, again, I don't think Art wants to do the show, okay? Sorry, may not be a popular opinion. You don't believe that? With all the evidence that you've been presented with, I don't know what to say to you then. I don't know what to say to you. You are, by magnitude, by orders of magnitude, a far bigger Uber fan than I must be. If you can't see that. That Art just doesn't want to do a radio show because he would have found a way around this problem if he actually wanted to. But he didn't, so there's not going to be a radio show. I mean, that seems pretty simple to me. Falky, do you have any further commentary on the Art Bell situation? If not...
No, not really. I think you're mostly right. One could hold out hope, but, you know, how many times...
But if he comes back, what's he going to come back to?
I don't know.
I mean, is he going to come back to... He may as well come back to UFO ship. Because I think what he's going to come back to would be comparable. I mean, I really do. And again, that is nothing against Heather whatsoever. But it doesn't matter who you put in that chair. That show becomes just another podcast. It becomes just another paranormal show out there for people to listen to. The only difference is this one costs you $5 a month. If you want to be able to download it. That is not that's not going to cut it. And there's going to be a point at which I don't think that model is able to maintain itself, frankly.
That's, is she on tonight?
Yes. That's why I scheduled. That's why I scheduled the show as I did, because I didn't want to. I didn't want to run over. I didn't want to overlap. So as long as we end this show within the next 43 minutes, we will wrap up right as she's coming on. And again, nothing I have said is to suggest that she's inadequate as a host. I've said it 1,000 times that she did 1,000% better than the overwhelming majority of people would have been able to do on Friday night. And I heard a major, I heard everything but the last 30 minutes of the show that she did on Monday night. But again, if it's not art, it becomes any other podcast. And that's it. It's that simple. That's why I didn't feel like we should continue doing the nightly threads on Belgab, because that's something special. That's, you know, each of those threads is supposed to be a text representation, an encapsulation of that episode. And to just say, okay, you know, you can take the words midnight in the desert. Those are just 4 words strung together. That doesn't make the show. You can say, well, I'm clicking the same button in order to tune in. Okay, but that doesn't make it the same show. It's just data being streamed over the internet. So that doesn't make it the show. What makes it the show is the guy. And it wouldn't have mattered who Art Bell was replaced by. I would be saying this is now just another podcast. It's just another radio show. And there are so many out there. The obvious, I've been an Art Bell fan forever. And when I started podcasting in 2006, my buddy Tim Pate that I started doing it with said, we should do a paranormal show. Because that's the context in which Tim and I came to know one another, was through Art Bell. So naturally, the instinctive, reflexive inclination is going to be, let's do a paranormal talk show on the internet. And I resisted that, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. I just instinctively felt that's too predictable. That's exactly what you would expect me to be doing if I were an Art Bell fan starting a podcast. You would expect me to be doing an Art Bell type of show, an Art Bell genre type of show, and I just don't want to do that. So Tim and I didn't do that. We specifically, by and large, tried to stay away from that sort of stuff, paranormal Art Bell type stuff. And having done that over the years, I'm really glad we did, because now I look at this sea of Art Bell type shows that we are just utterly awash with, and they're a dime a dozen. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are unlistenable. Some of them are great and could be heard on a radio station somewhere. But there are just a billion of them out there. And so without Art hosting, and by the way, every one of them has a host who envisions themselves as the next Art Bell, every one of them. Go on iTunes, type the word paranormal for the genre you want to look up. Every list show in that list is hosted by somebody who knows about Art Bell and desperately wishes they were him, or could aspire to his level of success. Every last one of us. So, yeah, I'm glad that I never tried to go down that road. And now that I see how many of those shows there are, I'm doubly glad. And without Art hosting, it's any show Art starts. If Art starts a new show that he decides to call Garbage Cans Are Cool, let's just throw some random words together, that will not be the show. The show will be Art. And so when he sits down every night and says, and now Garbage Cans Are Cool, hi, I'm Art Bell, and he starts doing his Art Bell thing, no one's going to care what the name of the show was. It doesn't matter. It's Art Bell that people are tuning in to hear. Without him, it's just another person on the internet talking into a microphone. And I'm sure Jasmine just butt hurt now because I hung up on him, because I just sent him a message immediately. I said, call again, and now he's not calling. So because I want him to call back in, he's not going to do so. You know what? That's the way it's going to be. Okay, Falky, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's very interesting. But
thank you.
After a while, it becomes beating a dead horse.
Oh my!
Because you can either say art's coming back or art never come back. And has art, what's the word I'm going to use? Irreparably damaged his brand. And this,
I think so.
Straw.
I think he has. We have 2 years of run up to this whole thing. All the work that everyone's done building the network. All the affiliates that have signed on, that have taken a chance, and those affiliates took a chance signing on. And because everyone in the radio industry knows Art Bell, they know he's 70 years old, and one of the affiliates that I went and stumped for him at, that is what the program director told me. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Art Bell's pretty old. That was verbatim what she said to me, and I wish I had said to her, well, you know George Norrie's only like 4 or 5 years younger, right? So let's take a deep breath. I didn't think to say it at the time, though. Jasmunda?
Why do you have to make it all about yourself, MB?
Because that's what the audience demands. I'm sorry, you had another question, and my desire to have seamless hang-ups prematurely disconnected you.
I just always expect that you're going to prematurely ejaculate me. On we go. I think Bateman sort of asked my question just straight after me, so that's why I didn't call back in. But
one thing
we might want to ask Falky is what happened with the whole George Norrie and the glasses thing? Prior to that, you were his biggest detractor. You hated George Norrie like the rest of us. Then the glasses situation came and no more George Norrie on the internet. Is there a backstory to that? Were you told to stop it, or was the lure of the spectacles just too much?
Well, you know, I got to say something. These people that make comments on me that I engaged in sex with Norrie for the glasses are disgusting, that I would sell my soul for a $160 pair of glasses and gas money are ridiculous. I got to know George Norrie over a period of months. We inbox each other back and forth all the time on my Gmail account. I send him news stories. He's used them on the air. And there's a difference between his broadcast and testing talent and or lack of it, as some may perceive.
Well, no, you were one of the biggest perceivers of that lack of talent. So, I mean, how can you just flip that switch and say, eh?
Because I got to know him as a person. And
okay.
That's different. From online is not the word, but their personality.
Wouldn't you say your initial assessment of his talent would be the most objective and therefore the most accurate?
We've discussed that too, back and forth. What he does, what he says. I've sent him stuff. This is where you blew it tonight, and
you do send him. Even after the friendship and the budding thereof, you still send him messages like that?
You make mistakes. You made a mistake. What were you saying about this? What were you thinking? And, you know, he comments on it sometimes, and other times I don't get an answer at all. There's times I send him emails. I don't hear from him for a week or 2 weeks. He's running back and forth all the time.
Well, he's a very busy man. He's a host of a nationally syndicated radio talk show.
He's also going to all these events, Toronto with Alex Jones and UFO conventions and Texas and everywhere else. And I get messages from, I'm going on the plane. I won't be available for 2 or 3 days or 20 hours or whatever. So it's hard to get hold of.
Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is AK Willie.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, forgive me for being a little nervous. I don't get a chance to talk to the National Treasure that often.
See how people feel about you, Falky?
Oh, my God.
You are a phenomenon.
Yeah, but I just had two questions and a comment. The first question is, Open Light Jerry, he made a really great offer to Falky in regards to his daughter. But Falky, he won't get away from Kathy, so is there any chance maybe they would consider adopting his daughter? In lieu of a state-paid caregiver.
A state-paid caregiver for whom?
Me.
Well, Falky's been trying to get a caregiver.
Oh, she could serve as... Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I follow.
Yeah, yeah. And my understanding is she also has like three kids, so that would also help out as far as the cleaning stuff goes. And the other question I had, I just saw one of your best videos, man. You put it up like 3 hours ago, and in it, you claim that your mother actually met Hitler and she was married to a Nazi guy
died in
the war.
Hold on.
And Falky, you are of Jewish extraction, so I am interested in hearing the genesis of this tale.
Which question do I answer first?
Let's go to the most interesting, the Hitler question. Let's go there first.
My mother and her family were born in East Prussia, which at one time was...
Hold on, Falky. Before you tell this story, you know, I don't want you at the end of this show saying Michael sabotaged me, because I am not driving the show in the direction that it's currently going in, which is to talk about you, which is what I am pretty sure you explicitly don't want. But I just want to put that out there so that you can tell this story. I am entirely fine with you doing so. I just want it to be known that should the conversation tangentially work its way into this direction or that direction, I'm just an observer here.
Okay. I have to explain this, what I know from what my mother told
me. Okay, let's hear it.
She was born in East Prussia, which is now Lithuania, in a city called Tilsit, which is now Sovietsk, and made her way at one point to Berlin. At some point, she met her husband. I have the marriage certificate and stuff in here. I have her paperwork I have to send to a relative who wants all the photographs and all that stuff. And at some point in 1940, at a function in Berlin, she met Adolf Hitler. Now, her husband was part of a very prominent, wealthy family in Frankfurt. I have no knowledge whether or not he was a Nazi, but most people in Germany were members of the Nazi party. I don't know that for a fact, but he was a member of the Wehrmacht. I have her wedding picture with him and other men in military uniform, and she's in her wedding dress. She told me that she loved him very much. He went off to fight when Germany invaded Russia and died there.
What was the event at which she met Hitler? What was happening there?
She didn't explain all. And I asked her, well, what was Hitler like? And with a total tone of disgust, the only thing she told me was that man. She did not approve of the Führer.
Falky of Jewish extraction says, this is a news flash, everybody. Falky's mom did not approve of the Führer. Carry on.
Part of my mother's family, there's a, I don't know, schism is the right word.
So wait a minute. When she said that man to you, what were your impressions of those two words based on her demeanor, her tone? I mean, what was she feeling inside as she said that?
It's the look on her face was total disgust. And when she would say something like that, I knew that she did not disapprove of it in one way, shape, or form. But I don't think she would have said anything to his face or anything like that. Part of the family is Protestant, so we're not all Jewish. And they converted to Protestantism. And some of them still live in Germany, some live in Canada, and some live in the United States. But other members of her brothers were in the Wehrmacht, the Kriegsmarine, and Luftwaffe. So they all went into the German services during the war.
Okay, so this story really doesn't have any sordid details. There's nothing, nobody gets naked or anything like that. Okay.
No, she went to a reunion in Frankfurt.
Well, I just thought you were being entirely sabotaged because I thought that caller was one of your detractors. I thought. And so I thought he was. I thought that this story would go in some crazy. No, it was just a legitimate question about the history of the Senda family. Okay. You know what? My antennas are up. And apparently they're a little bit overperceptive. And again, he also asked about Open Lines, Jerry. And that guy's offer to you of his daughter.
I how to put this.
He said, why do you not accept Open Lines Jerry's daughter in lieu of a state paid?
First of all, Open Lines Jerry's daughter is not a young, and well, she's young, but she's not a young and comely teenager. And
a young and what teenager?
Comely teenager. That's an old school world.
Did you say comely?
Comely.
Cuddly. I thought you said comely. I was like, I've never. I'm sorry. I don't hear so good.
Okay, look up the word. But in any event.
Why no cuddly? I thought you said comely. C-U-M-L-Y. Comely,
attractive, among other things.
Okay.
But she's 30 years old. I believe she's married. I'm not certain of that. And I know it got Open Lines Jerry, when his wife heard about it, he went in the doghouse for some time. So that's not going to happen.
Do you really believe that, though? I mean, I don't believe for a moment that anything Open Lines Jerry tells us, I entirely believe is a fabrication. I mean, do you really believe anything this guy says, from his brain tumor to his daughter to his past drinking habits?
I am daily contact with Jerry. So is Area 51 drone. And I'm
telling you, Falky, I can tell he's playing you so totally. I mean, I can tell the tone with which he writes. I can totally tell you with certainty, unambiguously, he is totally trolling you and he is not sincere. And you know how many people have played that game with you over the years, and others have come in and warned you and said, Falky, dude, you're being trolled by this guy. And you never believe people when they tell you that. Why?
Well, he hasn't given me any indication.
But I see things he types that show me that he is insincere in his adulation. I could go read any Open Lines Jerry post right now, and I guarantee you, if it's a post pertaining to you, which it is because he's trolling you, I guarantee you I would find feigned adulation, and it would be written with a tone that implies wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Why do you not see that?
Because I haven't seen it. No, that doesn't. I'm being honest. I haven't read every damn post he's left on there.
Well, I haven't either. It's just that the small number I have read all come across to me that way.
Now, if you want me to, I'll go back 50 pages and start looking at stuff. I do that. You know, I look at Belgium.
I don't think you're going to see that. That's my point. I think if you went back,
see what the hell is going on,
and you read every post submitted by Open Lines Jerry, I don't think you're going to see it. And I'm just trying to understand what it is about how you perceive what he writes that differs from how I perceive it, because I totally believe you're being trolled 1,000%. By that guy. I don't believe he has a daughter. I don't believe he has a brain tumor. He sent me when he had his brain tumor, he sent me a PM and he was mentioning it to me and told me that he was going to be away for a while. And I responded, well, you know, if you really do have a brain tumor, I wish you well. If you don't, well, you don't really need to do the shtick thing with me, because you know, I don't care. There's no upside. Maybe he was strategizing. He knew that 2 year or a year or whatever into the future, I would talk about it on the Gabcast, and that would solidify the legitimacy of his Belgab character. But that dude is totally playing a Belgab character. I mean, it is performance art. It's entertainment for him. It's performance art for us to witness. I mean, you're being so totally trolled by that guy. And everyone told you that I'm bringing you on the show tonight to sabotage you. Even him, he's the saboteur. He probably told you that I'm going to try and sandbag you on the show tonight somehow, didn't he?
No, he wasn't.
Really?
He was not the one. I got several inboxes on Belgab from several people. And I said to them, frankly, if that happens, I always have the option of hanging up.
That's right.
That, because I don't think you're going to do that, and we've discussed this.
Okay. Well, I would ask that you... Well, I wouldn't ask, because it doesn't really affect my daily life. I will just tell you, that guy's trolling you. And if you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278 if you want to be on the show tonight. And, you know, it would be nice if some more people would call in. I'm sure a lot of people do have questions. This is a rather noteworthy moment in the evolutionary history of the Gabcast. You have made one prior appearance on this show, and we intended to do the same thing. Here's the thing. When you came onto the Gabcast the last time and the whole thing became about your sex life and it became about your dad and the fact that you accidentally almost killed him, or you did, was it that you almost accidentally killed him or you did kill him? I can't remember.
No, it was, he got drunk, he was attacked, trying to strangle my mother to death, and I had to beat him with his canes and get him off her because he was trying to kill her.
Okay, well, I did not intend the show to go in all of those, it was the callers calling in, and this is one of my first, White Crow, you son of a bitch, White Crow is the guy who called into that show that night to bring up the story about how you and your dad had this struggle and someone almost died. And then after the show airs, he goes onto the forum to talk about how I was responsible for what happened on the show. I was like, dude, you were one of the people who called in and asked George Senda to relay these very specific stories. That one, which I believe you had told him only in private. I don't even think you had publicly relayed that story to anybody prior to that.
I relate it to somebody else.
But it was the callers. That's my point. My intention when you came on that night, I legitimately intended for you to come on the show and just be a host and talk about whatever, something that's happening on Belgab, something happening in the news, whatever it is you wanted. And the callers, the whole thing just sort of, it was inertial. I mean, once we stepped over that precipice, just, you know, we slid down the hill and off it went, but it wasn't my intention to push things in that direction. And so I am not exactly surprised that some people were telling you, hey, he's setting you up.
I'm not worried about it.
Well, I am, and I will be discussing it with my wife tonight in great detail. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
MV Falky, this is Dustin again, Scorch on the forums. I don't know if the call dropped or if I suffered the wrath of Falky earlier.
No, you suffered the wrath of MV. That's how I end radio show calls. I don't say bye. I just hang up. I say, okay, you know what? I guess this guy made his point, and off you go.
Well, I wanted to close, so feel free to cut me off after this.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. MV. Well, that's I tend to agree.
All praise MV.
Go ahead, buddy.
What about Richard? I find his show mildly entertaining at times. I was thinking about throwing him $5. Do you think he'll stay?
He's just so punchable, though, right? Falky, what's your opinion of Richard Hoagland?
I also have long history of inboxes with Richard C. Hoagland.
Going way back, probably before even Belgab, right?
No, but in the last couple of years, we've talked about Europa and Mars and different things, and I've asked him questions about science that I didn't know, that I didn't understand. He's answered them. We're friends. I sent him a game. I have his books on my shelf, so we're friendly to each other. I like his stuff. I can't, and I even made a comment about physics, and I called it something beyond hyperdimensional. He said, I never thought of that word. And I said, yeah, well, it came to my mind. So what little I heard of his show, I enjoyed.
Do you think that he would make a suitable replacement for Art Bell? Do you think that relative to Heather, you would prefer to see Hoagland?
I'm not going to compare apples and oranges.
No, I'm not talking about a comparison because they're obviously two very different hosts. I'm just talking about if I sit two radios right in front of you and I say, this one turns on Heather, this one turns on Hoagland, which on switch are you going to flip?
But see, I don't want to be accused of attacking.
It's not about attacking. I'm just asking. She's on the radio now. She chose to be on the radio. She's open to public scrutiny. So
I find I've been listening to Richard C. Hoagland on both incarnations of Coast, on Dark Matter, on Midnight in the Desert. Apparently, at some point, he and Art had a falling out recently. But I'd listen to Richard because I find him interesting. That's
Dustin, what are your thoughts?
if I had to choose one, God bless Heather, and I wish I had a set of balls like that woman does.
She does. Well, you guys really are just a couple of cold, unfeeling turncoats.
It's not. I've never heard her talk on Gabcast.
I, with friends like you, you know? You know the saying? You know the saying.
Oh, my gosh. Love the show.
Okay,
all
buddy. Well, I won't disagree with that.
Hoagland's a proven commodity, and Heather isn't as far as I know, but I've never heard her on I haven't heard her show, so it's not fair to compare her to Richard C. Hoagland. Richard C. Hoagland's been around.
No, I'm not, and again, it's not a request that a comparison be drawn. It's just matter of what is your preference.
Into a box here that I don't particularly like.
You know what the news is going to be tomorrow? It's going to be Falky denounces Redacted on the Gabcast.
Of course, but that's not what I'm doing.
No, he did not do that. I twisted and contorted him until I see how I am the puppet master. I know how to get people to just quit twisting and contort. Okay, now I totally got Falky to say something. You better be careful, Falky, because see, that's what happens to you when you appear on this show. Things get squeezed out of you that going in you would not have told yourself you're going to allow to be squeezed out of you. See?
Well, I don't think it's been squeezed. I mean, I think you put me in an either-or position, and it was very...
Well, unfair. You could have just said, I refuse to answer. Instead, you decided to unduly attack Redacted.
And... I should have said my sex life. I got myself in trouble, so...
Yeah, see, the whole sex life thing, that was Bateman. He brought up the mayo when you were on the show last time. I didn't bring up mayo.
Oh, here's the baby.
Yeah, that's my 3-year-old.
Very cute.
Thank you.
The thing is that, it's not fair of me to compare and I'm saying compare because you're putting me into an either or.
No, I don't want you to compare. They're very different. They are both amateurs when it comes to hosting a radio show.
Yeah, but Hoagland has a track record of being a guest, and people listen to him, whether you like him or not. I remember when he found the hole in Miami. I remember when he got ill, and Art came to his aid, and Ramona, and all of that. So people know Hoagland. People, and this is not against Redacted, Heather, when you want to call her. I'll tell you a funny story. I went on my Facebook page last week, and I scroll down the page, and I see people like you, and it says, Heather... whatever her last name was, Art Bell producer. And I said, ha! I had to laugh because I'm going, that's the last thing I expected to see my Facebook page is a comparison. People like me was Heather. So, and I didn't say anything mean about it, but I said, where did this come from? So it's not right morally for me to criticize her performance on Midnight in the Desert because I haven't heard it.
Okay, so let's take a look at the last few posts of Open Lines Jerry. The most recent is a picture of you holding up a can of mayo, a reference, not so subtle reference, to your previous Gabcast appearance.
Well, I did that because there's all this talking to me about mayonnaise, and I said I do the one thing with mayonnaise. I put it on sandwiches as God intended.
Yeah, but people were suggesting that it was being used by you in the course of engaging in marital relations with women.
No.
See, never. That never made sense to me. Why would somebody select mayo? Just such a horribly disgusting substance one could ever consider using for that. I don't understand it.
I put that picture. I asked Jerry to post that as a joke. I watched a video today where this guy, and I cannot remember his name. He's apparently in L.A., and he eats all kinds of substances, and he absolutely hates mayonnaise. And he ate a whole 48-ounce jar of mayonnaise, and he was practically vomiting. So,
okay, listen to this post. This is from Open Lines Jerry. This was posted today at 2:02 Central this afternoon. What if we could go back in time and there had been some positive male role model to step into this young man's life? It's a photo of you, by the way.
Okay.
Someone who would have set him straight, broken him free from the shackles of his mother and father, and set him on the right path. Someone who would have encouraged him, built up his confidence, and helped him get the Microsoft job. As things have turned out, George is fortunate to live a good and decent life now, but it would have been nice if someone had been there to guide him. Who knows what might have been. My heart breaks for this boy. So that is the subtext to that post is, you are such a pathetic failure and a loser, Falky. And had the proper male role model been there, had you been a member of Boys Town, had you had the proper maternal role model, not maybe not role model, but influence in your life, had other people not screwed up so royally, you would not be such a pile of walking human debris in 2015.
Okay, you're taking the negative of that.
No, I'm just reading this and taking it in its full context, the full body and implication behind this post. I don't think this is typed incidentally in the way it's typed.
All right, let me say this about that post. I saw that post. And if you scroll down, there's a picture of three people, all of whom I know or knew then. I know exactly who are there. This is at a WesterCon in Long Beach that I attended. And then down further is a dear friend of mine, not the woman he's holding, putting his arm on, and Bill has his ever-present glass of scotch with him. That's Bill Tuning. The guy wrote Little Fuzzy, former Marine, became a dear friend of mine and somewhat of a role model, and he died of a heart attack. I miss him very much. He's one of my friends. All my friends save two have died. All my male friends were older than I, so they're all father figures in a sense.
So you are alone in this world?
No, I have two friends left. One is 75 and one is 60. He told me his age the other day. I've known him since I was 16. And when they go, I have no personal friends that I can go. And my friend Glenn, who I knew since 1970, died a few years ago. We knew each other for over 30 years. My friend Stuart in Colorado died of pancreatic cancer. We knew each other since...
So you've seen a lot of people die. I mean, you and I are at very different phases in our life, in very different circumstances beyond that, in that I have children. You've never had children, right?
No, I have cats. I don't have children.
Well, that's a shame.
Well,
why didn't you have kids?
Because...
I mean, you're what, 63?
Okay, first of all, Kathy aside, I've been involved with other women. Only one was
Wait. Kathy, your girlfriend?
Kathy aside, before Kathy.
Oh.
And during periods where we were not involved with each other, I've been involved with other women romantically. The love of my life, other than Kathy, was my first girlfriend. She died. I did not kill her, as been said on Bell Gab. She probably was killed by the person she got involved with, who gave her a miscarriage by kicking her in the stomach. I saw her for the last time in 1977. She was on the run from the man. She was in literal fear of her life. And she died that year. When I found out about that recently, I was devastated for about 2 weeks. I walked around in a daze. And that was my girlfriend. She was my first girlfriend as an adult, Julie. And I loved her dearly. But I never got involved. And I was married. And we'd never talked about kids. So it didn't come up. When I was married.
Are you something of a rolling stone? Did you just move around too much? You never...
No, I stayed in the same place for years, but things happened where I had to move for one reason. I had fires.
He's a loner. He's a rebel. You don't want to get messed up, tied down with a guy like him, Daddy.
No, I had a fire that wiped out my apartment. I got evicted from one apartment. I got the eviction squashed, but I had long-term relationships.
So why do you think it just never happened then? I mean, you say you've lived in the same place all these years, so there should have been some time for roots to grow.
Or both.
We didn't hear what you're saying because you're talking over me.
You were done. Work got in the way, or school, or both. I was either always working and coming home exhausted or going to college. So there was no time for a relationship. I was busy. Hmm.
Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hey.
Yeah, this is Raleigh Skrull.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
I want to entertain any comment from you regarding my sexual past with anyone.
I have no questions about your sexual past on this show.
Okay, he says he's got no sexual questions. I think I think he's approaching this in good faith. Let's see where it goes.
So first of all, I know you're going to go out and film some Christmas lights and have a good, make a nice video for that. This time, can you slow down? Just slow down, focus on a house, maybe talk about it. None of that whipping around stuff.
He's not been the steadiest camera operator?
Not at all. You'll see a convention that's half the floor, then the ceiling, then the wall. It's a lot of shaky cam.
We saw the most fantastic display the other night, Kathy, and I plan to go out there and just put the thing in my tripod.
Yeah, that's what I've said. I've tried to give you some advice on the thing, like even the newspaper video that you made. That was pretty good. You should follow up on that one.
Raleigh Squirrel sounds very sane, and I don't perceive there to be any sort of nefarious intent in his calling show today. Yes. But you seemed really defensive toward his call. Why?
Raleigh Squirrel has published information from another board on people I knew, sexual information.
Raleigh Squirrel, you sound so nice. I don't believe you would do that.
I've just asked about one person.
No, you have done more than that. You have published things about a dinner with my friend. We've known each other for 14 years. You have published information from that board, which is no longer available. I cannot refute that, but you're digging stuff up.
I'm not going to repeat it.
Well, you've done it.
I may have done it on the board. I'm not going to do it on you told me not to do it on the show. I'm not doing it on the show.
You said on the board today, I read the yesterday, that you were going to ask questions about my friend and our sexual history. So don't tell me you didn't do it on the board.
And I didn't.
That's not been allowed here.
But he's not doing it now, Falky. I don't think he's going to.
You inboxed me saying don't do that? I'm not doing it. You're the one who brought her up.
I brought it up because you made me furious. And
so you were just concerned.
I asked him about how you videotape, huh?
You were just concerned as a result of what he said on the forum that that's what he was here to do, right?
I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, my.
You have a rule, supposedly, that has... people are not supposed to publish personal information about people on the board from other boards.
You're going to have to turn that... Just stop right there and turn the ringer off on your phone.
I don't know how to do that. Kathy, I'm still on the Bell Gabcast. I'll call you back.
I feel like I'm in the midst of celebrities. I feel like it's almost like you're just sort of hanging out with De Niro and Leo.
Some days this phone rings off the hook when I'm trying to do videos. But anyway... you have a rule, or the last I knew you have a rule, you're not allowed to publish personal information, and Raleigh Squirrel has done that repeatedly, and that's why I'm so angry.
Actually, I did it once. Published the real first name. I was banned for a year for that, and I have
were
not
you?
Published any personal information since then.
You were banned?
I was banned for a full year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would like to refute this man, because he published a post about my going to dinner with my friend and Kathy, and how I ripped her off. How it was a disaster, it cost $90, and I was the one who called the restaurant in question after we had an absolutely hideous meal, called the corporate office, got my friend's money returned to her in full, plus they sent her a gift certificate. So, he totally twisted the truth of what happened, and he posted the information from that other
board. I heard in that was gift certificate.
I posted, tell us about your dinner with your friend.
Well,
was my post. Tell us about your dinner with blank.
You posted the entire story. You
I did not post the entire story. You came back with the entire story.
No, that's not what I recall.
Okay, well, I tell you what, Raleigh Squirrel, you can go find the exchange to which George refers on Belgab and link to it.
Quite a while ago. I don't even.
This is your assignment. For the night. You can't just go on freeloading on Belgab thinking you'll never have any duties or responsibilities. This is your job tonight. You need to go find that post, link it in the Gabcast thread. The audience wants to know who's telling the truth.
I'll find it.
There's another thing. He posted in last week, I will ask a question about your freebie, my friend. Now, that's another thing that is...
And I didn't ask that. I'm not asking that.
I didn't say that. You posted it on the board.
I did post that someone should ask you about it.
What's the freebie thing?
The only thing I'd like to ask you is, what's the deal with chicken? Why can't you cook a chicken?
Actually, I'm a very good...
This is an entire universe I am so not plugged into. Falky, continue.
I'm a very good cook, but when I burned the chicken the other night, I had a very bad head cold and decided to cook it with the skin on and the fat on, and my stomach and intestines can't take that, and I was sick for 2 days. And I went to sleep with...
You have at least three or four stories of undercooking, overcooking, forgetting to freeze it.
I have a chicken. crappy... electric oven and stove that doesn't work. Now, I've gotten around that now at my electric pressure cooker. I cook the chicken in there, and it's fine. As for chickens attacking me, well, I have canned chicken. I have subdued them. But I'd really rather not discuss it, Rally Squirrel, because, frankly, he's not telling the truth, and I think you should just disconnect him.
Rally Squirrel, I'm sorry. That means I have to hang up.
Later.
Bye. He sounds pretty reasonable.
Well, liars are reasonable all the time. We've had a lot of them in the White House.
I mean, I'm not saying that any of the stuff you say is untrue, Falky. I'm just saying that in hearing his voice, I think you can extract a lot from just hearing somebody's voice. It kind of gives you a better insight to what's in their mind, what's on their mind, what's in their heart, than looking at somebody while they're speaking. And I thought he sounded like... he was calling in good faith.
Well, he wasn't. I was there. He wasn't. He's posted information on the underboard about me. You supposedly have a rule that you don't enforce. And
No, that's not true. Now, you're talking about the revealing personal information threat rule. And that is true that it's a rule. And it also is true, additionally, that I do enforce it. But the problem is, Falky, you say so much stuff about yourself on the forum that I can't weed out what it is that... let's say someone comes in and they say, hey, here's Cosmic Hobo's phone number. Well, that's an instant ban. I don't even give it a second thought. But in your case, since there's so much personal stuff that you've revealed about yourself, external forces being the cause. I mean, it all comes from you. Well, and so it's hard to weed out, okay, what has Falky previously said himself versus what has someone dug up about him? Like, for instance, you've held an envelope in front of the camera with your home address on it. I mean, it doesn't get much more personal than that when we're talking about your interaction with an internet message board. And so when you then, subsequent to that, contact me and say, hey, so-and-so is posting information about me that's private, I don't really know what to do with that request.
Okay, first of all, that envelope had my post office box address. Nothing comes here. Nothing has come here for three or four or five years because my mailbox got broken into. So there is nothing on my home address. I don't get mail here. And I didn't think about that at the time. It was showing them the envelope, either Nori or the envelope from Area 51 drone. I don't remember at this point. But I will say something. He is not the only one that are refugees. Came from that board. That thread started, and within a day or two, I was immediately attacked by residents of that board. And he's not the only one that's published information from that board. And that's the deal there. So it's not just him.
Well, I will say 2 hours here, Falky, have gone by fast. I'm really glad that you came in here and did this tonight. And, as far as I'm concerned, throw your name into the hat anytime you want to be on the show. It's cool.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you enjoy yourself here tonight? Did you feel you were treated fairly by me? Did you feel like I sabotaged you? And because I don't harbor any hatred toward you. I have no reason to.
I think a little bit you did sabotage me, and I think you were unfair at points, but for the most part, it was a little bit.
How did I sabotage you?
I mentioned it. I stand what I said.
Say that again?
I felt you put me in an untenable position comparing redacted to...
people are going to hear... people are going to download the show and they're going to hear the whole conversation. And I thought that what I asked you and what you said in response, you didn't do anything wrong. Don't sweat it. Okay.
And, you know, this stuff with people posting stuff in the other boards just bugs the hell out of me because I don't have it. Somebody saying, I read this on this board, and here's what he said. And in some cases, they've actually taken the text and put it on my thread. I can't refute that because I can't go to that board. But apparently, there's a mirror site. I can't go to that board, look it up, and say, well, this might be taken out of context.
Well,
someone said this, it's a lie.
You've made a lot of new fans tonight. You've made a lot of new friends. I think a lot of people probably see you in a much different context now than was the case previously. And I think it was a good move for you to come here tonight. And I hope that you feel good about your appearance. I do. And I think it went very well. Falky 2013, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Falkster. Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. He somewhat feels that he was sabotaged. I hope he doesn't feel that way because it was in no way my intention to do so. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I know I had fun doing it. It was a very fast 2 hours. That means something. That means I think something went well. I feel bad about every show until I go back and listen to it. So I feel horrible right now. I'm slit my wrist. Bye.
You've been listening to The Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. Now get lost.